It's so exciting when an orchestra tunes up because we know what's to come out of this glorious mess. That was particularly true one recent steamy Saturday morning in the Berkshires in western Massachusetts as the Boston Symphony Orchestra prepared to rehearse for that night's star-studded 75th anniversary celebration of its summer home, Tanglewood. People holding tickets for seats under the covered performance shed were already tailgating in the grass parking lot.
Do I understand this is a bridal shower?
Yes, you're right.
There's the bride.
Where's the bride? Oh, what's your name?
Kelly Bannister, soon to be Kelly Callahan.
Those hoping to stake out a claim on the sweeping lawn outside the shed are queuing up at the gates.
We have a cooler and our blanket and tarp.
Chairs
and table.
This is very special with John Williams and James Taylor and Yo-Yo Ma.
It's like an all-star cast. And again, you really, I mean, it's as if you're moving in. You have your Kindle and you... You know, I'm thinking of young people who line up the night before to see Justin Bieber.
I've been coming to Tanglewood since I was one of those little ones.
You know, birthday parties here and anniversaries and everybody's part of it.
There was expectation in the air, literally, wafting over the evergreen forested campus. You could hear the rehearsal of guest conductor Andres Nelson's. And James Taylor. In cottages hidden away in the woods, you could hear students at the famed Tanglewood Music Center rehearse. Or bump into one of their instructors, cellist Yo-Yo Ma.
I think I remember that you first came to Tanglewood invited by Seiji Ozawa.
Yes, I was 27. And it started this love affair with this, not only Tanglewood, but with this whole region. So you go down the Mass Pike, you start to see the hills, and every time, no matter how tired or stressed, I feel this incredible sense of openness. In many ways, you have the history of America right in front of you. Nathaniel Hawthorne being here to Edith Wharton or Herman Melville, Moby Dick's author, you know. And so the 75 years of Tanglewood, I think, fits in a beautiful way into the fabric of American history. I think there was the golden periods of American music, certainly as part of Tanglewood, and continues to be.
This is a very old recording. 2 years after the sprawling Tappan family estate was given to Koussevitzky and the BSO as a gift in 1936, the huge performance shed was added in 1938. This is Koussevitzky conducting during its dedication. It was also Koussevitzky's vision to add a school for young adults, the Tanglewood Music Center. Leonard Bernstein was in the first class. Aaron Copland was on the first faculty. You can hear him with a student in this 1949 documentary.
Don't you think the melodic material is a little ordinary there? Perhaps you could improve it over here.
Over here too?
Yes, I think over there also.
These pictures are right up there.
Oh my gosh.
This is where... This was the studio for about 30, 35 years of Aaron Copland. And then when his one of his proteges, a guy named Leonard Bernstein, became omnipresent on the campus of Tanglewood, they shared this office.
I think I need to genuflect.
Yeah.
That's Mark Volpe, managing director of the BSO for the last 15 years. This is Bernstein conducting at Tanglewood.
This house was where Hawthorne used to come, and that's why, you know, tales Tanglewood and all the things, and his buddies, you know, from the Transcendental School would come. And there's a great picture of Melville sitting on this porch, because Melville, who was New York-based, would cross the hills. And of course, Edith Wharton's about a mile and a half from
the Mount.
The Mount, which is her Berkshire residence. John Williams. I look out my window, and there's John walking the grounds. People like Seiji Ozawa, Wynn Marcellus, Zubin Mehta, all pass through these grounds. So every time I walk around, I think of the people who were here, the great musical figures, the great cultural figures, that sort of inform some of the decision-making. Because we're always trying to balance tradition and our legacy with the need to innovate. I mean, what's so interesting was this meeting with our trustees this morning, and I said, I don't think Koussevitzky 75 years ago ever imagined that we would be taking historic Tanglewood performances, putting it in the ether. Every day we have a new release, some featuring Van Cliburn and Yo-Yo and all sorts of figures in history.
You're talking about the downloads to celebrate the 75th anniversary. You're going into the archives. The first day are free, and then people can purchase this huge history. I think it was Lloyd Schwartz, the music critic, was reminding us of Danny Kaye conducting here.
Well, I mean, Danny Kaye certainly was one of the great, great actors and comedians and mimics. But what he also felt strongly about is when he started performing with orchestras, they didn't have pension plans. Basically, he donated all his services. All the money would go to seed a pension plan. Tens of millions of dollars he raised. And he was the greatest mimic. He could see any conductor, see any artist, and he could just do it.
In this one piece that's in the archives, he's stopping and starting the orchestra. He's lurching through a piece. It's hilarious.
So this will be one of those occasions that, God willing, I'm being a little presumptuous, it's a little bit like, like the seventh game of a World Series. The stadium might hold 50,000, but 10 years later, there'll be at least 3 million people that said they were there in the stadium watching. Because I have people, Bernstein's last concert on Earth was here at Tanglewood. There were maybe 7, 8, 9, 10,000 people there. There were at least 300,000 people there.
Because everyone says, I was there.
I was there.
Mark Volpe of the BSO on the 75th anniversary concert. As we listen to some of Bernstein's last conducting at Tanglewood, we'll link you to the terrific archives project at hereandnow.org and have more on the future of Tanglewood in 1 minute, Here and Now. Welcome back. By nightfall one recent Saturday, the sloping lawn at Tanglewood, the summer home of the Boston Symphony Orchestra, was blanketed by, blankets. We are all awaiting the start of the 75th anniversary concert, celebrating the performance space and summer school that was the dream of Serge Koussevitzky and became the playground of Aaron Copland, Leonard Bernstein, and tonight a couple of preteens playing catch with their family.
I love that I look down and you've got a baseball mitt in it, a baseball, and a bottle of wine.
Came for baseball, wine, and good music. It's the American way, right?
Oh, I have to. Whose candelabra is this? Your setup is wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
You have a candelabra and then hanging lights as well. And a wonderful spread here on this is a table you've brought in. Have you done this before?
Yes.
Yes, we've done it before.
We live in the area. You feel privileged to have it here.
Thousands more have seats inside the covered Koussevitzky shed, which is buzzing with anticipation. The BSO is in limbo. It's been without a music director since illness forced maestro James Levine to step down. And tonight, the first ever Tanglewood Medal will be awarded to another former conductor, Seiji Ozawa. Much beloved, but long ago, he violated Koussevitzky's mandate that the Tanglewood Student Music Center not be commercialized. He asked students to play for free in a documentary about Wynton Marsalis. So what signals will tonight's concert send? Well, a constellation of stars, from John Williams to Andres Nelsons, will conduct. And any questions about Tanglewood's legacy were answered when Boston Pops conductor Keith Lockhart strode to the podium and knocked Copland's Fanfare for the Common Man out of the shed.
And waiting in the wings, Tanglewood's future students, Tanglewood fellows, like 24-year-old Matthew Leslie Santana of Miami.
Who have you been able to rub shoulders with?
First of all, we're playing tonight with Emmanuel Axe, Yo-Yo Ma, and Anne-Sophie Mutter, and it's ridiculous to think that in 40 minutes we're going to play with these three people. We were rehearsing Sarasate Carmen Fantasy with Anne-Sophie Mutter, and it's just like, all I can do is listen to her. You know, her sound is so captivating. She is so captivating. I was like,
what am I doing here?
You don't need me. You got this. One of the fellows last year talked about taking out a part from the library that had Copland written in it, and she realized that he had seen this part, you know?
Are there people who walk around and think, Samuel Barber walked this path. Maybe some of it will come up through this.
I think we're all hoping that. Absolutely, and I think that on a more immediate level, I mean, Yo-Yo Ma is walking it right now, you know, and I think 75 years from now, people will be saying that, you know, I can't believe that Yo-Yo Ma walked here, that Anne-Sophie Mutter walked here, and
Matthew Leslie Santana walked here.
One can only hope. We'll see.
Koussevitzky, of all things, certainly he was idealistic.
That's BSO director Mark Volpe.
Why did he create Tanglewood? To train the next generation, but also because he had this issue where the orchestra was gender-specific, only men, and they'd go back to Europe after Symphony and Pops, and some wouldn't come back. And so part of Tanglewood was to provide year-round employment. And the other pragmatic aspect of Koussevitzky was he figured within, at that point, America had real train travel. Within 3 hours train travel lived 40 million people. Like Bernstein, he was his protege, you know, being contemporary matters. Part of what we're doing with the students, more and more, I have the development people, the marketing people, the finance people. We basically take them through the business of music. And, you know, when I got in the business, the media companies were companies like Sony and BMG and Deutsche Grammophon, and now they're companies like Google and Amazon. And Koussi was a great user of technology. You know, 78s, then there was 33 mono and 33 stereo. Now that, you know, the rate of change continues to accelerate. And I can only imagine what he'd be doing. Who knows what Bernstein would be doing?
There's a wonderful article here in the Times Union. You know, people have been lining up to say their favorite moments. Here's one. August 9th, 1975, Rostropovich conducting Shostakovich's Symphony 5. At the end of the concert, you know about this, he folds the score shut, kisses it, and places it on the stand. And Seiji Ozawa comes out to announce what?
Well, the death of Shostakovich. Listen, the same thing happened when Kennedy was assassinated in Boston, where Leinsdorf had to stop a concert and announce that. So we've had moments of great joy and moments of great sadness. Part of what a cultural institution can do is basically communally bring that, you know, message across.
There were several such communal moments in the 75th anniversary concert. A standout, Yo-Yo Ma, sitting in the center of the full Tanglewood Music Center student orchestra, facing the audience, but conducting the players with his body. Earlier in the day, he talked of how, through rehearsals, they all reached this transcendent moment.
This 10-minute piece, Andante Cantabile by Tchaikovsky, that is so extraordinarily, achingly beautiful. And we were playing it and talking about what makes it beautiful and how does it become achingly beautiful. Tchaikovsky does it through even measure numbers, odd measure numbers, and there's a heartbeat in there. It has these, the last chords are like an amen, like a personal search for something way beyond. And I think we had an extraordinary hour and a half over 2 days just talking about this. And that's the type of thing that happens over and over in this place. You'd think, as a 56-year-old having played this piece many times, that I knew all this. But I was actually studying the music this morning and thought, oh my goodness, that's how he, what, those are the things he was struggling with, and that's how he broke through. I was so excited that I shared what I, you know, discovered with the TMC fellows. And so I think we had a moment of learning and discovery together. Along with more time, you also have attention paid to excellence. You know, they're incredible craftsmen here who build extraordinary things, furniture, homes.
And I'm thinking of one, James Taylor, who built you, what's it called, a cradle for your cello? Do I have that right?
Oh, right. He's a tinkerer. You know, he invents machines that help musicians or other people. Tanglewood remains the place that I think first created this idea of almost like a utopian, but open. It's not a closed utopia that keeps attracting citizens and artists and travelers and literary people and musicians. And that mix is part of the secret.
Seiji Ozawa conducting at Tanglewood in 1984. Again, to download historic performances, you can go to hereandnow.org. And you can hear and see the entire 75th anniversary gala concert this Friday night on PBS. It is fantastic. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again. Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.